The Teachings of Billionaire Yen Su, Disc 6.
We began this tape with some comments about perception. In understanding ourselves, our perceptions and prejudices, we have greater awareness and meaning in our communications with others. The very nature of communicating to ourselves through listening to our inner world has a direct mirroring effect on our interpersonal abilities in our external world. The principle is the same for listening as it is for evaluating. They are interrelated. You cannot evaluate others effectively until you have mastered the art of self-observation, and you cannot communicate effectively with others unless you are yourself. Being yourself is the first and most important step in effective communication. Usually, though, during the process of listening to others, a large percentage of our hearing is overrun by a constant evaluation of the incoming messages which we are receiving. Do I agree with this or that? Why are they saying this or that? Why don't they make their point? What is it that happened to me that is similar? That tie doesn't suit them. And so on. We literally hold two conversations at once. Constant internal chatter creates a fullness where an emptiness is required. For example, where is the usefulness in a vase for flowers? It is the empty space that receives them, and not the pleasant facade. Learn to see the emptiness. When you enter an empty house, can you feel the mood of the place which is communicated to you? When a group of people sit in a circle, it is the empty space in the center that determines the nature of the group's atmosphere. If we do not hear our inner higher self whispering to us in the silent gap between our thoughts, because of our internal dialogue, we miss important elements of what is being related to us by others. Effective communication goes way beyond the variety of listening skills which are learned through tuition. True communication involves intuition. When more is communicated by what is not said, the empty parts or silence. Most people feel uncomfortable with periods of silence in the conversation. They therefore usually prepare their reply as the first speaker is winding up their point, or worse, when their internal dialogue is amplified because what is being said strongly opposes their point of view. Effective communication requires a full understanding and appreciation of the other person's world. To do this, you listen with eyes and heart more than just ears. Most people tend to think that listening is to listen critically and search for what they agree or disagree with. They believe this means that they are paying attention and that it will allow them to prepare their answer on their own opinions drawn from their own circumstances. So people listen from within their own autobiographical experience, and this is the root of most communication problems. People do not listen with empathy. Empathy means understanding how another feels based on how they see their world, not on how you see their world. It means moving into the minds and hearts of others to see the world as they see it. To know how someone feels is sympathy, and the paradigm of efficient thinking responds with, I know how you feel, let me tell you about my experience in order that you can solve your problem. Often when talking with another, we can't wait to get our point over to sort out their problem and to tell them how we sorted out a similar problem. Our conditioning has taught us to believe that we must get our point in first, particularly during an argument. The way we see it is all that matters. The paradigm of getting our viewpoint over has developed the habit of wanting to state how we feel first, and then continue to restate it until the other person accepts it as theirs too. Listening to another to understand their feelings is thought to denote weakness. So, consequently, internal chatter is allowed to take over to the extent that there is no listening at all. The key to effective communication is trust, because when trust is low, communication is exhausting and ineffective. Where there is high trust and confidence, we can almost communicate without words. For where there is no trust and confidence, words will not be sufficient to communicate meaning, because meanings are not found in words. Meanings are found in people. Here the phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, runs true. Understanding how people feel about themselves is the real key to using their strengths and releasing their potential. Ask yourself, How much of the time and energy in your family or business is spent in some kind of defensive or protective communication? How much of your energy with your family, customers, and prospects is wasted with internal squabbling, backbiting, and politics? Most people admit that about a third is spent in these destructive ways. To reduce this destructive element in communication, manipulation, departmental rivalry, contest and positioning, businesses tend to look to new courses which focus on listening skills and developing effective work teams. However, efforts to improve communications have little permanent value unless unifying principles are developed as a foundation for them to grow on. The foundation lies with people and relationships. When we ignore the foundation, our improvement initiatives are short-lived. Effective communication requires correct interpretation. Although they are like two languages, both logic and emotion are essential to this. The language of emotion is far more powerful and motivating than its counterpart, logic. That is why it is so important to listen primarily with our eyes and heart, and secondarily with our ears. The meaning of communication must be understood first, without prejudice and without rejection of content. Developing the skills to be effective must follow the same principles associated with developing any skills. You cannot learn a skill overnight. You have to progress one step at a time. The catalyst is wanting to be a good communicator. The strategy is being patient with others, as well as yourself. We have to learn to say what we mean and to understand what others mean. In this way, the ability to see the world, not only through other eyes, but also through their hearts and minds, is developed. Changing into highly effective empathic communicators does not necessitate a series of courses. It requires a new paradigm. A paradigm that diminishes the ego and replaces it by responding always from your true self. The fact is that the quality of life is, by nature, derived from the quality of our relationships. They provide us with our greatest joy and our greatest sorrow. The I can only be developed through the we. Insincerity is shallow and noticeable. Sincerity is deep and reassuring. Being yourself, being sincere with yourself, is the most powerful conduit the I can have for the we. When we become sincere with others, openness and trust build, and communication is developed, with or without words. Words have no meaning, only people do. Remember, the next time you meet someone you have never met before, that more is communicated in the moment before you speak than in the 10 moments that follow. I believe there to be 7 main precepts for good communication. 1. We cannot communicate more than what we are. The precept must be to understand who we are in order to recognize who others are. It follows that being yourself is the first key to effective communication. Pleasing everybody by playing appropriate roles is not healthy communication. 2. Communication is not simply words. It is the ability to successfully transmit and clearly receive the feelings which are the manifestations of how people think. One communicates as much, if not more, by one's silence as one's speech. 3. Communication must be unconditional. Assumptions, prejudices, and opinions must be put aside while truly listening. 4. Effective communication must align to the principle of integrity in order to develop the openness and trust which are fundamental to relationships. The lower the trust, the lower the level of communication. For example, avoiding eye contact. 5. We must question our beliefs in order to understand how they may distort our communications with others. We can then appreciate where others are coming from. 6. Learn that the priority of effective communication follows the sowing before reaping principle. Listen before speaking. Where the mouth is the mechanism, the ears and eyes are assistants of the heart and mind. When these 3 respond in harmony, they act in a beneficial way. To listen primarily with the eyes and heart, and secondarily with ears, means listening on 4 levels: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. 7. Any vision or mission that you have for a business will be lost unless you are able to communicate it to others effectively. So always seek to understand and speak to be understood. Increasingly, businesses are taking the time to develop missions or purposeful statements which encapsulate what they are about, where they are going, and how they are going to get there. Sadly, it is too often a case of words crafted by senior management in accordance with, "We ought to have a mission statement in case someone asks." More importantly, have you got your own personal mission statement? Personal mission is rare because we as a society do not promote it. We promote the development of goals to further our careers, but rarely are they strategies which form part and parcel of our own personal mission. Can you imagine the sense of belonging and the security you would enjoy if you had established your own personal mission statement with its own guiding principles? The whole process of developing a personal mission statement cultivates the passion you feel for your vision and empowers you to work towards it. Your mission will be the very essence of why you are doing what you do and must mean the world to you. So deep reflective time must be invested in its creation. Too often, when facing something of personal importance, we confide in others for their considered views. By all means, bounce certain thoughts off others, as this will help crystallize your own thinking about how you feel. But remember that family, friends, and colleagues are agencies, not sources. The only true source for you is your own intuitive self. Your mission should be designed to utilize your greatest strengths, which should in turn continue to develop within its framework. All the goals you set will be stepping stones towards it. Whereas goals are bounded by time and are continually replaced by new goals, a mission is timeless, and the benefits it creates often extend beyond your life. Many businesses have a mission to be number one in their particular field. That, however, is not a mission statement. It's a goal. A true mission has to express a business's purpose, its reason for existence, and become the guiding invisible force that unites everyone involved and drives them forward. Creating your own mission does take time and requires all your creative vision. Each one of us has been born with a specific vocation or mission that only we can do. It therefore follows that the strengths you were born with relate to empowering that mission or calling. It also follows that to the degree that you are yourself, you are open to receive that which you are to do, and to the degree that you are not yourself, you are closed to what you are to do. Metaphysically speaking, you attract the particular wavelengths that coordinate with your own thoughts. So, it is vitally important, therefore, to be in tune with those vibrations and to match your own true vocation or calling, and not your conditioned one. Wavelengths or vibrations that are properly focused become a source of great strength and power. For example, the laser beam that cuts through steel has the same energy output as the electric bulb, but is highly concentrated. This principle applies universally. In attaining strength, nature follows a sequential process. It does not jump from seed to sapling or from spring to sea. It follows a natural growing process which nurtures and continually strengthens. The tiny frail seed becomes the strongest living adult in its journey to become a tree. The tiny spring always gets where it's going. Its issues become part of the huge force of the ocean. Regardless of obstacles, it continues to raise itself to the appropriate level to overcome and continue its mission. But it cannot move onto a higher level until the lower levels are attained first. An ideal way to focus your thinking on what you are to do in life and to utilize all your creative imagination is to write your own obituary. Imagine that you have just passed on. You have devoted yourself to your life's work and have been successful in all that you planned. What is the legacy that you have left behind you? What were your achievements, and what did you contribute for the benefit of others? What will you be remembered for, above all? Take the time to write a statement of what your life was about and what difference it made. What would you want written as a one-sentence epitaph on your tombstone? This exercise helps you crystallize your thinking as to what you stand for and what values are central to your life. Universal values transcend time, place, language, and culture barriers. They comprise timeless constants mentioned in all the wisdom literature of the world about the human condition, and they are as relevant today as they were in the past. The fact that we can all wonder at the pyramids, feel awe at the cathedrals, and be moved by certain music speaks volumes about the mystery of universal values. But today, such values as unity, sacrifice, peace, service, God, and love receive little attention as we are otherwise occupied with material and economic pursuits. Where cultural values serve to establish and maintain social order, our individual values reflect what is important in our lives. They are reflected in our relationships with others, the commitments and promises we make, and the kind of preferences we hold. They are the result of our conditioning and experiences and carry our own private meanings that we attach to objects, events, ideas, or relationships. Unless we consciously take the time to establish what is important in our lives, we operate robotically under a program created by past experiences. Ideally, you should go off to a personal retreat for a day or so in order that you can develop your values, your mission, and what is important to you. Aim to develop a meaningful personal statement that will focus your strengths and talents. Clarify your values and what you want to be and do. And remember that this quest of your life is too important to be merely fitted in. Your mission statement should be simple enough to be remembered and frequently reflected upon. It can be as long as you like, provided you can summarize its essence. It does not have to show how it will be accomplished, for it is not a plan. Its function is to direct and express your values and beliefs. It provides guides, not goals. You will discover that writing and developing your personal mission is neither instant nor easy. Discovering your inner drive and matching it with your activities requires time and commitment. It is developed contemporaneously with the whole process of questioning your paradigms with self-observation and improvement. Mission statements that are reviewed regularly become more effective in the same way that regular exercise becomes more enjoyable. Ones that live only on paper are worse than having no mission at all, as the only result will be guilt. It's certainly worth spending 30 minutes a month with your personal guide, so mark a monthly reminder in your diary to review them.